Integrating, because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm going to need some help from you folks this morning. I got to tell you, it's 4:45. I don't set an alarm. I just wake up. I don't know how you guys are, but I just wake up. 4:45, I woke up. I thought, a little bit early. I'm not going to roll out of here yet. Still warm in the bed. And I'll sleep 10 more minutes. I'll get up at 5. And so I slept 10 more minutes, and it was 5 minutes after 6, which for me is like sleeping till noon. So I got up and scrambled, tried to do a little bit of show prep. And then I relaxed and, oh, it doesn't matter. It's Flea Flicker Friday. So Mark Trump and those guys, they're going to save me anyway. So I came out of my battle gear today, my camo. And the reason I'm dressed in my camo today is if you saw upstairs, well, we have to clean up upstairs. We had a family Thanksgiving was at our house yesterday. We had 30, 35 people around, little people, big people, friends. We had it here. And they all did a nice job of cleaning, trying to wash the dishes and everything for us. But now they got to be put away. And then the table's got to be put away. And then the chair's got to be taken back. And, oh, my. So I figured I'd dress in camo this morning, be ready to attack though. But it's a good time to do it because we move into Black Friday. So this will be a good time for you for Father's Day. Good Christmas gift right here. Got a good Christmas gift on my head. You can get the camo hat. You can get the red, white, and blue hat. You can get the red, blue, red, and white hat, or you can get the Jesus thing. Now, you cannot get this, although David Hawkins said he would make me some more tinfoil hats, and you cannot get the Rob Pugh cheese hat, and you certainly cannot have Lindell's hat, which he left here 2 years ago. But other than that, we got them. So you want to help us out? You need a Christmas gift? There you go. Lindell's hat, I don't have any of. You can't have. The cheese hat was specially made, as was the camo hat. Or I'm sorry, the tinfoil hat. Jesus cap. Pass the salt blue hat. But I'm in camo today, all right? I'm in camo. Had a great Thanksgiving. I remember I told you yesterday I was going to pig out? I did, sort of. I ate some pies and some of that kind of stuff, but didn't really eat too much at dinner. So I felt pretty good at the end of it. Didn't kill myself, and now we can get back in the saddle again. I was looking at, is Mike Paul Spaulding in here today? Pastor Mike, he's usually in here, but it might be a day off for him. Maybe he slept in. Daggone, Pastor Mike Spaulding, I just caught picture of you. You've lost some weight, man. And then I saw it said that he and his wife between them have lost 80 pounds. So I got to get a hold of Pastor Mike, see how he did. Somebody said keto. I still don't understand how that whole process works, although I'm sure that it works. But looking good out there, Pastor Mike, even though you're not listening to us here today. So. Welcome, folks. Crazy times, as I always say, crazy times in which we live. Hey, Lowell. Lowell, I'm going to have you maybe at some point. Is he in here? I think I thought I saw him.
I'm here. Oh, sleepy, okay. But here.
Okay, buddy. As part of this Flea Flicker Friday thing, I want to talk a little bit again. Off the air the other day, folks, when we closed out, I think it was on today's Friday. I think it was on Wednesday, although I could be wrong. We got talking a little bit about communication, what happens if communication goes down. We got into, somebody began to talk about CD radios, whatever, you know, that's probably a better name for them. And Lowell, I want you to talk a little bit about that here this morning, too, because I think that's really, really important, really, really critical. And a lot of other things we can flick out there, but I want to make sure that everybody's aware of, we are still heading. Oh, first thing, I said this the other day. If you want others to know your YouTube page, you are going to have to send it. Okay, I'm about ready to send that list out. I've heard from three. Now, Chad Estes didn't send me anything. His wife, Michelle, didn't send me anything. Chad didn't send me the link to the Texas Salt Library. If you did, Chad, I missed it. So if you want people to know you have a YouTube page, you're going to have to send me that information. All right? And I said to you the other day, I'm very, very serious about it. Folks, they're ready, getting really, 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 really ready to clamp down on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. I'm banned on Facebook. Simply because
of a live show. Not a live show, because one of our shows, this show right here, was being streamed on Facebook. And because the show was being streamed on Facebook, I'm no longer... What's that, Jared? Hey, Patrick. So, folks, this is really, really coming down the... Now, listen, I'm not trying to make myself sound more important than I am, because, you know, I'm certainly not Alex Jones or the Hagman Report or Dave Hodges. We're not at that level. But I know this, they have seeped down to our level. I simply put on Facebook. We put on Facebook. We broadcast on Facebook this show. That's all it was. And two of those shows, they went back, said, doesn't meet community standards, 30 days, you're out of here, boom. And, you know, frankly, my dear, I don't give a darn, right? Frankly, I don't care. See, that's where the world is.
Well, point Coach, being, yes, you're just telling the truth. That's all it is. You're just telling the truth, and they don't like it.
Yeah, but, Vinny, it's deeper than that, see? And it goes back to what we talked a little bit about yesterday. I really believe that there's some disclosures that are coming. If Donald Trump doesn't do – if there aren't some perp walks, if there's not some – declassification of the FISA report. If there's not some serious things that happen in the 30 days, and we know Donald Trump is either a fraud or he's been bought off or he's been threatened off something. Okay? I mean, it's how can Hillary Clinton possibly be walking around? How can Comey and those guys who at the highest offices in the land, the highest law enforcement officer in the land, have been crooked? I mean, that's not even open for debate. So if those guys are able to get away with it, then there is no rule of law in America. So we're going to see that. And here's my theory. I believe that when that happens, when some of these indictments come down, I could be wrong, but when these indictments begin to come down, social media is going to be, maybe it's not going to go dark, but it's certainly going to be reduced down. Right now, I don't even know how, I have about 6,000 followers on Facebook. I don't even know how many actually even see my posts. I see them, so therefore I think everybody else is seeing them. But I think that's probably not true. And so through the algorithms and all that process, and Mark Trump probably can explain that better than anybody else, they put you on Facebook and you think you're doing fine, ain't nobody seeing you. So what's going to happen is they call that shadow banning, I believe. So what's going to happen when some of this stuff becomes to come down about the Clinton Foundation? Let me back up on that. Because I got an email from maybe it was Dale, somebody yesterday, that Comey and somebody have to go – House Committee investigate him.
Loretta Lynch and Comey.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. Folks, if you are looking for the House to do anything, this is all smoke and mirrors. The House Committee, right now, they have about 30 days and then the House flips. There'll be a new chairman. And they'll put a kibosh on those House investigations. So this, to me, sorry, Dale, to me, this is nothing more than Comey, they give Comey a date. They come on in here, speak to us, Comey. And then he's going to say, no, I can't come that date, or going to plead the fifth, or he's going to come, whatever. And then the House is going to flip, and it's going to be the last we heard about. So you cannot count. You can't trust any of them, folks. You can't trust the House nor the Senate or any justice, because they are all so deeply embedded. And I tried to warn you. I told you almost a year ago that 40 Republican congressmen were not running for reelection. And the reason the 40 Republican congressmen were not running for re-election is because the House was so corrupt that word came down, if you guys just kind of slip out the back door, we're going to ignore some of the shenanigans that you've done. And then as a result of it, when those 40s began to slip out the back door, then Paul Ryan didn't do anything to help 40 replace them. And as a result, the House flipped. Why did the House flip? In foil hat, because the deep state doesn't want the investigations to go on. So therefore, they flip the House to the Democrats, and the Democrats bury all that. That's what I think is going on. So anything that Trump's going to be done is going to be done in the public. That's why I said we'll know soon whether he's the real deal or not. He'll release these things publicly, and they're going to be done through military tribunals or maybe in the federal courts. That's it. So anything that you see going on with the Senate or anything you see going on with the House, don't trust it. Just don't trust it. It is absolutely... Trey Gowdy has been blowhardened for how long? 2 years? Trey Gowdy been blowhardened? Has he done anything at all? People say, we need Trey Gowdy. We need him for attorney general. He didn't do a daggone thing in the House except blowhard. Nothing, right? Nothing. So we got to understand how this game's played and what's going on. And that's not what I wanted to talk about, but I feel that deep inside of me.
somebody come in because they feel it is Flea Flicker Friday, by the way. Come on in.
Who's supporting Trump? If he were to do all these things, who's going to support him?
They say JR that the military is behind Trump.
I hope they're not. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they say that's why he's going into military tribunals and all that kind of stuff. That's the word out there. In fact, if you go back, I don't know how many of you watched that video from Robert Steele I told you to watch. Very enlightening. But that's why they go back to say that you heard David Steele say that if Donald Trump doesn't run for re-election, that there's going to be a coalition that's going to run, that there is a good group of good guys within the government that, first of all, encouraged Trump to run, enabled his victory, they say, and that there's some white hats, that Trump is currently working with some white hats. Now, JR, as I wrote on Thursday, we're going to know here. We'll know soon. If nothing happens by January, it's all been smoke and mirrors and all a bunch of blowhards. So we'll know soon. Somebody else, come on in. Man, Vinny, you don't even have anything to say about this right up your alley, man. You don't have a bowling ball in your hand, knock down some pins?
Well, Coach, I agree with you. I don't think the House or the Senate is anything. They haven't done anything in, to me, decades, pretty much. So it was just unique because of the date you were talking about yesterday, December 5th. The one that was fired last year, the assistant of the FBI, I see that he was fired, and he's looking for some kind of a deal in order to release information about the Hillary Clinton email scandal.
Hey, how about the Wiener laptop? Whatever happened to that? Right?
They're trying to hide that because that has so much filthy stuff on it. It will take out the entire thing.
We're going to know in about 30 days whether or not we have a real government left. That's what we're going to know here.
Amen, brother.
I think wild day countdown.
What's that, Larry?
Yeah, I'm wondering if Donald Trump is going to wait to the Christmas vacation like he did last year with his executive orders. You know what I'm saying? Get these guys out of their office and their power and their chambers and then do something.
Well, see, Dale, listen, folks, I wish I was smart enough to connect the dots for you. He signed an executive order back about 30 days that cannot take effect for 45 days. We're not there yet. At the conclusion of the 45-day period that he laid out there regarding the elections, I think, then he can act, and he cannot act before. So, again, folks, we're going to know soon. He's either a good guy or he's a bad guy. We're going to know soon. And so, you know, we can speculate and argue and tell everything we know and all that. I don't know where Chad is. Chad's usually our guy with his nose on the ground. He probably slept in this morning. He's usually the one who can fill us in on all this stuff. But I believe something's happened.
I think December 5th.
Did y'all hear about the guy that was supposedly committed suicide? He was a guy, I forget what his position was, but Trump had appointed him to basically go after the drug company to get American lower prices on pharmaceutical drugs. And well, he was just magically committed suicide with multiple blunt wounds to his body.
That's just how the young guy saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so my thought on this, Coach, is, you know, there's going to be a heavy price for people to, you know, to pay for being on the right side. And so, you know, the question is how many people are really willing to do that. And then the second thing is that there's one guy that I follow a little bit, Chuck Baldwin, and he's completely on the camp that Trump is not who he says he is. So, you know, I know you have Robert Steele and he's saying one thing. You're hearing all sorts of different things, but I agree with you, and probably 30 days we'll know one way or the other. But yeah, there's going to be a price to pay one way or the other.
George, I'm with you. I quit criticizing. I quit speculating. We're going to know. We're going to know here in 30 days.
I don't think 30 days is the right time frame to put on our minds. I think it's 12 days, December 5th. We don't pick a day where we have enough time to possibly influence things at one last chance before the House takeover of the Democrats. If we wait 30 days before we decide to do something, it's too damn late. Excuse my friend.
I'm with you, Larry. I'm with you. So anyway, I'm not going to argue about it. I, you wouldn't believe the emails I get. You know, I wrote that commentary on Thursday. You wouldn't believe people. They still don't get it. and I can't make it more clear than this. If Donald Trump is not the real deal, we is screwed. All right? He is. So
hey, the blunt truth is this. They didn't need Donald Trump to take us down.
They did.
We were already down.
We were already down. Well, no, we're going to know here soon. So I'm not going to save me your stinking emails and tell me how wrong I am and he's not a godly man and we shouldn't be supporting ungodly men. Listen, I can't make it any more clear. We're going to know here. We're going to know before Christmas which team he's on. And if he's not on our team, we are already screwed. This is very, it's very, very clear. All right. Very, very clear. A lot of things are going on. By the way, let's go to Ezekiel 22. I think that'd be a good place to start here today. Just because, can I tell you why? Because that's where my Bible was flipped over and I started reading Ezekiel 22. And hey, we're still going to Panama City, December 9th. That's if the world doesn't stop yet, December 5th. December 9th, we're still going down there. We'd love for you to come. In fact, Don up in New Jersey needs somebody to ride along with him. You live out there in Pennsylvania. There's some place that you could go and meet Don. You could ride down with him. He's bringing a tractor. Craig's coming down from up in Iowa. Mark Trump's coming there with his handy double-barreled chainsaws. Jim Kraft's going to be there. It's church camp for adults. We'd love to have you come. If you have financial issues about how you can't get this, say, Coach, I'd like to come, but I can't afford it. We're willing to help you come there. Come and be part of it as well. We raise funds to be able to do that kind of thing to get some workers down there. And there's still a lot of wood on the ground down there. And I'm in Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. This ain't a stand up and clap and cheer. And you guys know this. I'm not. Okay, Coach. Lord. Okay. Listen. Scripture is very clear. It says that we are not to tempt the Lord thy God. Or I believe it says in the book of Psalms, I think, talks about the sin of presumption. The sin of presumption. It's one of the most deadly sins that you can ever do. And what is the sin of presumption? There, Jared found it. Boy, Jared, you are all over. There it is. It's three different places. Psalm 5:5. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. Thus I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. Whoops, Jared just shut. There it is. I will also put an end to the arrogance of the proud and base the haughtiness of the ruthless. But the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is native or alien, that one is blaspheming the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massa. In other words, the sin of presumption is assuming that the Lord is going to forgive you. That's a sin of presumption. Now I can do this, and he's righteous, and he's merciful, and he's going to forgive me. That is a very, very, very dangerous sin. And I don't know how we in America today, do you have any idea how many babies we murder in this country? Do you have any idea how our sewers are full of pornography? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how yesterday I'm sitting around during Thanksgiving and I'm watching the football games on in the background, and the halftime show is some type of, I don't even know what the hell is that? I said to my son-in-law sitting beside me, bunch of girls up there dressing and gyrating. This is the NFL, right?
And
they don't have guys out there shooting turkeys and cocking guns and riding hot rods. They got these women out there doing this demonic thing again. What is going on? We are so stinking wicked.
Then, Coach, did you see that? Well, I don't watch the parades or any of that, and I do just watch part of the games. But, brother, they had in the parades, they had where they had to have to make sure that they pushed that homosexual agenda, that they had that couple kissing, you know, so all the kids in the world can see that this is what we're supposed to embrace.
Hey, Dale, they better hope God accepts homosexuality. They better hope he does. Let's see, that's a sin of presumption. Right there is a sin of presumption. Because we think it's okay, he thinks it's okay. I'm okay, you're okay, God's okay. Jesus is just all right with me. Go ahead, Jared.
We watched a kids movie with the family yesterday. And, You know, I've watched a couple kids' movies lately. All of them have got some gigantic transgender in every single kid's movie. It's got this gigantic, muscular, what appears to be a woman. Mm. In every kid's movie, these kids are like 3 years old watching this stuff.
Mm. Anyway. Not going to stop there.
It's not going to stop there. Hey, Roger, listen to this one. So I'm sitting around last night. My daughter organizes this game. There's about 30 of us. We're playing this game where you write some. Everybody writes a name on a piece of paper. Joe Montana. You write whatever name you want to, and you put it in a basket, and then they pass it around, and you got to try to identify who that person is. So I draw out, and I draw out. Doesn't matter. I draw out Robin Williams, let's say. So I draw out Robin Williams. I say, Mork and Mindy. And everybody says, Robin Williams. Yeah, that's how the game's played. Okay, so we're playing this game last night, and I pull one out, and it says Stan Laurel. I said, Hardy, Oliver Hardy. And they looked at me like I'm freaking speaking Chinese. Oliver Hardy, comedy, Oliver Hardy. Nobody knew Stan Laurel. Now, I want to know how we got in America where you don't know Laurel and Hardy anymore. Don't even know Laurel and Hardy.
I'm just revealing your age, Coach.
I guess they don't know comedy. They don't know comedy, brother.
Yeah. That, hey, Laurel and Hardy, that's Americana, isn't it? Easy. Well, so, go ahead, Rod.
I was going to say, I don't claim to be a prophet, but there is no doubt in my mind we are going towards legalizing marriage with as many people as you want. One wife, two wife, four wives, one guy, two guy. And they're bestiality. They're going in the direction of acknowledging bestiality. It's not going to stop at transgender.
Well, what would be the restraint? What would possibly be the restraint, folks? What could it possibly be? See, that's why I continue to get encouragement. Little things we're going to know here in 30 days. When Donald Trump came out and attacked John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, said, yes, get that guy. Yeah. Dude, every once in a while, I said, man, oh, man, I don't know. We'll know here soon. I'm in. So we have the sin of presumption in that we think God is just all merciful and all loving and we're all children of God. He's going to forgive us all and we're all going to go to heaven and we're all being a better place. Folks, that's a sin of presumption, and that is really, really dangerous, right? So I was thinking today, Ezekiel 22, what a good day, the day before my anniversary. Michelle and I will be married 39 years tomorrow. What a saint. How she put up with me. Gee. 39 years tomorrow. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, don't you like it when the word comes to you, saying? I like that one. Now, thou son of man, will you judge the bloody city? I'm going to stop right there, man. Bloody city, isn't it? Living a bloody name. And the Lord said, saying to Ezekiel here, dude, you going to do something about this? Yeah, thou shalt show her all of her abominations. By the way, we could start in the church, couldn't we? Then tell them, thus says the Lord God. He said, you go judge them, and after you get done judging, you tell them I said it. The city sheddeth blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Talking about the city defiling herself. Thou, you have become guilty, dude, in the blood that has shed. And you have defiled yourself in the idols which you have made. And you have caused thy days to draw near and art come even unto thy years. Therefore have made you, dude, a reproach unto the heathen and a mocking to all the countries. Is that happening to America or not? Those that be near and those that be far from you, they're going to mock you, which art infamous and much vexed. I'm talking about America being the bloody city and what's been happening to us. Okay, stay with me. Behold, the princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to their power to shed blood. Think of the ungodly wars that we fight and the church cheers as we fight them. In thee have they set light by father and mother, In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with this stranger. Somebody can say amen. You don't have to. Talking about America, this harlot of a nation we've become. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. That's abortion. You want my opinion? You despise my holy things? You've profaned my Sabbath. You celebrate Christmas and Easter and do all types of crazy stuff out there. In you are men that carry tails to shed blood. In you, they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee, they commit lewdness. In other words, they go up high. They go up into those high areas and they eat upon the mountains. They laugh at us as they're doing their sinful stuff up in those high areas, committing lewdness. Not only are they eating babies, sacrificing children, drinking blood. Well, you don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe it. And they have they discovered their father's nakedness, homosexuality. And they have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one hath committed abomination with his neighbor's wife. Another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. Another in thee hath humbled his sister. His father's daughter, days. And thee have they taken gifts to shed blood? Wow. Thou hast taken usury and increase interest money, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. Jesus loves everybody. Once saved, always saved. Behold, therefore, I have smitten mine hand at thy dishonest gain, which thou hast made, and at thy blood, which thou hast been in the midst of thee. So, dudes, can your heart endure? Or can your hands be strong in the days that I have fought, shall deal with this? Are you up for it, boys? I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I'm going to do it. Sin of presumption. Oh, God bless America. Thou shalt take thine inheritance in thyself in the sight of the heathen, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. I could go on, but I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to spend the whole. You can go ahead and read the rest of it. The sin of presumption is upon America. And no matter what happens, there's going to be a price to be paid. Now, Jared, go real quickly to Psalm 91.
And Coach, unlike Trey Gowdy, who just says it, God says I'm going to do it, and I'm going to act on it.
He gave us his word. He's going to do it. Dale gave us his word. And thank God, Psalm 91, which involves me, my wife, my family. See, Thank you, Lord. You know what God's mercy might be? A sudden, quick death. That might be his mercy. A sudden, quick one. See, we think God's blessing is extended life. Sometimes that's not true. Jared, real quickly, Ecclesiastes 7. Ecclesiastes 7. Well, hey, I think the Holy Spirit's speaking right now. A good name is better than precious ointment. It could be your name. It could be America's name. It could be a lot of different things. It could be the church's name. A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. A good name is better than precious ointment in the day of death than the day of one's birth. Could God's mercy be a quick death? Could that be it? We don't see it that way, right? We think life, we think God's blessing and mercy is continue to live. Behold, I come quickly, the word says, right?
Amen.
So Psalm 91, we can go back there, Jared. This is my hope. And this is where Michelle and the coach live after 39 years. He that dwelleth in the secret, not visited, not just shows up every once in a while on Sunday. No, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. That's Michelle and I. We try to dwell there. And I'll say to the Lord that he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I'm going to trust the Lord. no matter what. Because the Bible says he's not appointed me under wrath. Could not being appointed under wrath be a quick death as opposed to some long, drawn-out, suffering, starving, running for my life death? I will say to the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. He is, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings am I going to trust. His truth shall be my shield, my buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror. I'm not afraid of the terror comes because I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, nor before the arrow that fly. Hey, folks, you realize that both of these, both things in five speak to death. You understand that? Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. Why are you terrified? Because it has death attached to it. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Why are you scared of the arrow that flieth by day? Because it has death attached to it. He said, don't be afraid of that kind of stuff. Don't fear death. Nor for the pestilence. There it is, death again, that walketh in the darkness. Nor for the destruction that comes at new day. There it is. He's not saying these things aren't coming. He said, you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And 1,000 are going to fall at your side. That's kind of violent, isn't it? When 1,000 fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand. What? It's not going to come near you. Doesn't say death isn't coming, because we just read in Ecclesiastes that it's a glorious day when you die. Doesn't say that death isn't going to come near you. It's going to say, what isn't going to come to you? The pestilence isn't going to come to you. All those things we just didn't, it's not going to come near you. The mercy of the Lord may be a quick boom out of your death. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is your refuge, wait a minute, only with your eyes. Verse 8, shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Hey, boys and girls, that'd be something to see. And the reward isn't first place. They don't get a trophy for being the best sinner. You know what I'm saying? And it says, only with your eyes are you going to see the reward of the wicked. And when we see the reward of the wicked, dude, Jared, go back up there. Jared, go back to about number 4. When you see the reward of the wicked, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the noisome pestilence, the fowler. You're going to be covered with his wings. Under his wings shall you trust. You're not going to be afraid of the terror by night. You're not going to be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walk in darkness, or for the destruction that walk in the noonday, because you're going to see 1,000 drop here, and you're going to see 10,000 drop there, but it ain't coming near you. But you're going to see the reward of the wicked. Wow, is this unbelievable? And see, we're always concerned about not dying. And I don't think this is what it's talking about. Because you've made the Lord your refuge, even the Most High your habitation. There's not going to be any evil befall you. Doesn't say you're not going to die. There's not going to be any evil befall you. Neither shall be any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. This is opposed to Ezekiel 22. Shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. They shall tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion, the dragon shall thou trample under your feet. They're going to help you walk through some of this pestilence because he set his love upon you. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. And I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, show him my salvation. See, that long life isn't necessarily here. Am I getting too deep? Wow.
Not at all, brother.
Wow. So we got to prepare, but tomorrow's promised to no man. And according to what I just read, when you pass into the hands of the Lord, when you die, whoo, what a glorious day that is. Boy, that don't fill many churches, does it? That doesn't fill many churches at all, but that gives me great faith. Okay, somebody jump in here. Flea Flicker Friday. Come on. I got more to talk about.
Psalm 91 is beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Because there's death and terror all everywhere around us. And he says, don't worry about you dwelling under the secret place of the Most High. He didn't say this stuff isn't going on. It is all around us. But you are going to see, you know, the Bible talks about a martyr's crown. That if you're martyred for the Lord, there's a special reward. Is a special.
You know, the last two verses of that Ezekiel 22 that you were reading,
Very end of it?
Yeah, the very end of it.
Where I didn't go to. Yeah, yeah. Don't get me gone.
And I fought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. You know, we can have our right attitudes and we can have our right beliefs, but if we're not willing to stand up in the gap for God, we're useless.
Jared, go back to 18. We are, Larry. I guess I'm supposed to read this. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel, son of man, the church is to me dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They are even the dross of silk. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as I gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it. So boys and girls, I'm going to gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. That's his friendship evangelism, isn't it? Yep. He says, I'm going to gather you and blow upon you. He says, I'm going to put you in that fire and I'm going to blow on it. I'm going to blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall you be melted in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. The word of the Lord came unto me, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They ordain homosexuals and have hid, I lost it there, Jared, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Sin of presumption. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls just to get money, just to get ahead. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. Fake mud, fake mortar. Looks like mortar, but it doesn't hold. Seeing vanity and divining lies under them, saying, thou shalt, thou thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord ain't said it. Amen. I lost it there, Jared. I lost it, Jared. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I look for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy. But I'm telling you, boys, I didn't find anyone. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, said the Lord. I'm getting even.
But Coach, that's Old Testament. But wait a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, know this, verse 3, that in the last days mockers will come and they're mocking, following after their own lusts. Talking about where is his promise. Then it goes down. It says this in verse 6. Through which the world at the time was destroyed by flood with water. But this present heaven and earth by his word are being reserved for a fire. Kept for the day of judgment at the destruction of the ungodly. Then verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar. And the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things have been destroyed, what sort of people ought we be? to be living in holy conduct and godliness.
Best life now, brother. Best Dale, life now.
Listen to me, Dale. You are old school, baby. Andy Stanley says that the Old Testament is not relevant. You are too old school, baby.
Hey, Roger, do you know that salt really doesn't burn, but sugar burns with intense heat?
This is a perfect example when we've talked over the years on the huddle. Very few churches will ever talk about the wrath of God. This is what I mean when I say, I don't mind a little bit of love of God. I'm okay with that, but let's balance it. This type of study, this type of reading, where it displays God's anger, can be used to correct people. It is not just love, love, love that corrects. A little wrath of God, a little fear, it will help people.
Well, first off, Roger, it's not the sweetness. It says it is the severity and the mercies of God that leads a man unto repentance. There's no sweetness there. It is the severity, and then it's the mercy of the Lord that he don't kill you because of your sin that leads a man unto repentance.
Yes.
Boys and girls, do you understand, boys and girls? Do you understand how wicked the American government is? Do you have any idea how wicked it is? Do you understand? See, we are worse than, you pick it, Azerbaijan, Saudi Arabia. You pick wherever, because we had that precious soup, that precious ointment, and rejected it. Dare I say it, we pissed it away. We had it, and we pissed it away. Is that not Romans 1? See? So when we look at America, we talk about how good and how great America is. Are you, folks, we are the, this makes people all nervous. With all the resources that we have, we are the most wicked, because Saudi Arabia, the Muslims, they are only doing what they've been taught. We are undoing what we've been taught. We taught the truth, and we have rejected the truth. And we won't admit it. We won't come out and admit it, that we're better because we have more stuff. We have NFL football. We have turkeys. We just got everything that you could ever want. God bless America. You don't get it.
Hey, Coach.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, that is so true. And I'll give you an example here. Last Saturday, we went to the abortion clinic, and I was so blown away because there wasn't one bad or dilapidated car that came in. I'm talking there were Infinities, BMWs, the people that got out. If you didn't know they were going to an abortion clinic, you would just think they were good people, normal people. You know, a lot of times we put this stigma on abortion that it's just these down and out people that go and get abortions. And I'm telling you, it's the heart of the American people, and it has hit every segment, whether we like it or not. What you're saying is right. We've been hijacked, and it's affected every segment of our society, even pastors and churches that send their little girls in to get abortions. It has gotten absolutely that wicked.
Can you think of anything? I'm asking anybody in the queue right now, tell me one thing more wicked than the slaughter of your own child. Can anybody tell me anything more wicked that a nation could do than slaughter our own children? The animals don't do that.
Yes, Coach. The thing that's worse is the acceptance of it.
Amen, Joe. Amen. Well, that's what we're reading about. That's what we're reading about. Government is right.
Yeah, but Coach.
Yeah. Yeah,
you started just about the sin of presumption.
Yeah,
that is so huge in the church, because the people that I've been shared to that are Christians, they just, it's kind of like the cheap grace that's out there. You know, it's the same. Yeah. People don't take it. People say, "Well, if I ask, God's got to forgive me." I go, "You show me the scripture that He has to forgive you." He, number one, He looks for a contrite heart. I don't see that. He says those who repent, and that means you quit sinning. He says, then I'll hear your prayers. He's not even hearing your prayers. And I'm going, but they all assume, and they're being taught, no matter what I do, God's got to forgive me. That is so dangerous. And that's what I see in America.
Isaiah. Yes, Denny. I'm trying to find Isaiah. He always gets hidden. And I think it's 58. I think it is. Lord, where's Isaiah here today? I can't find. There he is. There he is. He popped right out at me. Jerry, let me. Isaiah. Yeah, 59, Jared. No, 58. Say 58 or 59. It doesn't matter. Sorry about your Thanksgiving break. It disappeared off my screen. There it is. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. In the house of Jacob, their sins. They seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. See, then we're more afraid to go visit our governor than we are the Lord. You say we have fasted, but you don't see us, Lord. We've afflicted our soul and you haven't noticed it. And in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. He says, behold, you fast for strife and debate. You to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on. He said, I ain't going to hear you. Is this the fast that I've chosen? Day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread his sackcloth and ashes on it. Well, that you're going to call that a fast? Can you expect me to accept that? He says. This is not the fast that I've chosen. Loose the bands of the wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you shall break every yoke. Go to 59, Jared. If you think we're just missing it, just go to 59. But the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that he cannot. It's not that he can't do it. He can still do it. But your sins are separate between you and your God. And your sins have hit his face. He ain't even looking at you. He can't even hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness. Nobody calls for justice for the preborn. Nobody pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies, deep mischief, bring forth iniquity. There it is, Roger. Right there it is. And so, again, our wicked, our sin of presumption is that we're Americans. Well, God bless America, right? God bless the USA. The sin of presumption.
We even go to Isaiah 1.
Well, look at 58:3 there. It says, declare to my people their rebellion. The pulpit is afraid to do that.
Yes, they are. Because the pulpit is in rebellion.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, Roger, the other side of that is the fact that we're getting this news here. You know, not only are they not doing it, we got a place to get this information. You know, and I think that's another testimony to others to bring them here is we're getting pieces of the word uncovered. You know, just the people around me I've shared stuff with, Coach, they know that I've been in some sort of Bible training. But I've just been here every morning. You know, wow. So it matters. And I see what Roger's saying, and it's a disappointment in the church. It really is.
Because, Mark, they're really, you won't bump into one in 100 in the church that have any idea what you're talking about.
Well, go on to 59:2. Go to 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. We're being taught, just come to me and keep on sinning. He'll forgive it.
Saved, always saved. Amen.
Scripture is pretty clear. We're not to be perfect, but we are to repent. We are to turn away. Mm-hmm. If we are not in that mode, he doesn't even hear us.
Doesn't. No, that's the sin of presumption, right? Once saved, always saved. I'm okay. You're okay. That's the sin of presumption that we're talking about here. So hey, listen. I'm not trying to make this gloom or doom. I'm just trying to tell you the truth, there, boys. All of us.
Hey, Mark and Roger.
Romans 1, Jared. Go ahead, George. Romans 1, Jared.
Hey, I was just going to say, probably like everyone in the huddle, I do a lot of chumming. And I know Coach talks about that. You just throw something out there with people and see where they're at. And what I found is most people in the church, when you throw out the huddle and what we're doing and you just give them bits and pieces, most Christians don't really want to go any further. They're too comfortable with where they're at, or they're too comfortable in their sin. And it's the rare person when you chum and you find a Paul Webb or a Randy, or you find a Jared or Larry or whatever, man, that's a precious jewel, because they're just not everywhere out there.
Amen.
They're not.
And this goes back to the church being a rescue mission.
Yeah.
You know, beyond a fix the pastor, fix the elders, fix the feminism in the church. There's people on those pews that need these messages.
Mm-hmm.
That are starving. And I think that's what you're talking about, is finding people in the pews.
Yeah, because it begins with personal holiness. Personal. It begins right at home, right? It begins right at home.
You know,
hey, Jared, go ahead. As Larry's talking, go ahead, scroll down, Jared, about 18 maybe. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, I think probably one of the things that Jesus said to his disciples really comes into play here. He says, "Come unto me." God, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, Jesus, they're drawing mankind to them. He sent the disciples out with a message about this drawing, about the availability of him paying for your sins as a person in the world. But he doesn't go out there forcing anything on anybody. In fact, he's doing this drawing, and he doesn't even hear the prayers of the evil. Jesus said in John 17, "I do not pray for the world." Yet our, quote, churches have made their main focus praying for the world.
Verse 16 of Romans 1, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." Wherein? The gospel of Christ. "For in the gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is currently revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of the world and the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." As everybody's talking to. Everybody. They're without excuse. Because when they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. Time out. Got to wrap this thing up here. This is good. Man, oh man, is this good. The Lord.
Hey, good.
Yeah. Yo, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, David.
Yep. Whoever that was that Jeff? I thought it was Jeff.
Yeah, I'm here. Now, I want to share this. Everything you're talking about this morning, all the different scriptures you've used, you and I have somebody we know together, and I'll share this real quickly, and I'll see if maybe you could give him a call today. I don't know if you've... Pastor Roger has really preached these messages in his church. And all the people say, well, he preaches a good message. We really like him. Believe it or not, I just talked to him the other day. Last week, about a week ago, they had no church on Sunday morning at Grace Community. None. A couple days before that, he just resigned and walked out. Done.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He is just tired of it. And he's actually, I talked to him a little bit, and maybe going out into the streets and doing some stuff with us. So I thought, this morning as you're preaching this, I thought, I'm going to get him on, get him to turn the show on 7 in the morning. And if you could give him a ring, Pastor Bill's going to give him a ring. But he's thrown his hands up. He's done. He's tired of it. And he's been out in the streets a lot in the community in the last year with the druggies and the police force and different things, trying to do stuff, and he can't get them off their butts. He just, it's amazing.
Thanks, Jeff. Running shorter on time to go much more in depth to that. Lowell, listen, man. I'm sorry, Lowell. This got away from us. Lowell, five minutes, Lowell. Give us 5 minutes on the need for some type of alternative communication. Were the net to go down, cell phone stop working? Give us four and a half minutes, Lowell.
Okay, well, it's not anything new. For the last 100 years or more, during any type of emergency or crisis, whether it's weather issues, floods, earthquakes, wars, whatever, the grid power goes down, the grid communication devices go down, whether it's broadcast TV, broadcast radio that rely upon electrical grid. Also, what goes down is your telephone systems. If it's not an act of God, then it's an act of man. That's what's targeted. And now you're in an age where all information comes and goes to us over the World Wide Web. Guys that are my age, I've got 4 rooms of books in storage. All of them are obsolete now, and I never use any of them. I use the internet for everything. Okay, so we've become reliant upon it. Now we're reliant upon it for communication. We use Facebook to stay in contact with all of our friends. We come and we join, conferences like this on the air. Our whole communication is focused on that. Okay. If you go to an office today, you won't find a typewriter. You won't find a fax. You won't find a phone line that just comes into the office. It all comes through computers. It all comes under the web now.
Yep.
So this is what you need to do. You need to go with ham radios, because they're always the guys that come in and save the day. Every time. They're just amateurs. They're self-funded, and it's a lot of fun. This is what everybody needs to do. Now, I sent both you and Jared.
Yeah, I saw it this morning.
A list of equipment. The first thing to do, very first thing to do, every journey starts with one step. Buy a technical license study guide from ARRL.org, and it's on that list of stuff. Okay, you can go to Amazon, just type in ARRL, okay, and a whole bunch of books will show up. You buy the one that says Technician License Study Guide.
Lowell, let me stop you.
Like 20 books.
Lowell, let me stop you there, because we're going to do a show on this.
Mm-hmm.
Just continue to explain to people, because you've painted a great picture already. Just storms, snowstorms, power goes out. Your internet doesn't come on. Your cell phone doesn't work. The phone lines are down. This is real stuff, isn't it? Well, this is not necessarily end of the world kind of stuff, although it sure looks like the end of the world could be getting nearer and nearer. This is just common sense preparation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a tool that you should have, and you can't buy it the day before you need it.
Down in Florida, when the hurricane hit, it was days and days before some families knew of the condition or the situation of their loved ones that were down there, living down there, because normal communication things were not available. If there had been some ham operators that could have moved in down there, they could have patched in, they could have made phone calls to their loved ones, they could have said, we're okay, we're alive, and they wouldn't have been put through days of anxiety. If the ham community had been set up to mobilizing and go.
Mark Trump, when we were down in Panama City, we helped that couple that was 75 and 76 years old. When the hurricane hit, they spent 6 nights in their home. No phone, no power, no communication. Exactly what Larry's talking about right there. We saw it firsthand, didn't we, Mark?
Amen. Yep. You got to think about many different things. And I remember at Russ Dizdar's house, we were all talking about them sending notes in a different ASCII file, different character set, so they couldn't be identified by analytics. This is a concern for all the watchmen. How do you communicate amongst yourselves when you don't have communication? So it would be good to take Lowell's idea broader across the other Watchmen production sets. Mm-hmm. That way we all could share information. I think it's one of the most critical groups of men on earth right now, honestly.
Lowell, we're going to do this on Monday morning. If we can get Russ in here, if Russ can be part of it, I don't know if you can get a hold of him. We're going to talk about this on Monday.
I can get him.
All right, buddy. Hey, folks, happy anniversary to Michelle and I today, even though it'll be tomorrow. And when the next time you see me Monday, I'll be 66 years old birthday Monday. You can send all the birthday gifts online. The address is there. I thank all of you for all the many gifts. Just kidding. I just saw JR's having Bradley Dean on tomorrow on his show. JR, just saw that pop up there. Bradley Dean on with JR tomorrow. God bless y'all. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning. Go Bucks.